The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
What's the benefits of time, of living longer than the folks around you? And one of those benefits is you've seen God work over a larger, longer span of life. And you've seen some things that apply, that help you understand God's plan, what He's teaching in Scripture. So it's good to know that you're in a room full of folks that have seen a lot of things. You're in a room full of people that have lived life. And there was a time when we would go to school, and every morning we would start the day with the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, I'm not sure if that happens anymore. Does that happen anymore? Still happens. Start the day with the Pledge of Allegiance. Did you sing these songs, all of those songs, in school every day? How about once a year did you sing these songs? What's that? You sing them at sports? Okay, get the Star Spangled Banner at sports events. But some of the rest of those songs, we can all, if you've been around a little while, you can sing it from memory. You know it deep down in your heart because it's been repeated over and over and over. And the reason folks love, I don't know if you felt the robust singing in the room. There was a stronger singing in the room. There's a robustness to it that people are echoing this gratefulness for freedom that they have been blessed with by the Lord. There's an acknowledgement that the Lord gives all freedom. Y'all believe that's true? He's the author of freedom. And that freedom, however, is very fragile. Freedom is fragile. Things can happen. One bad decision, one errant way, one evil person, one group of people set on destroying freedom can make decisions, do things that cause people to be trapped in bondage. They can do things that cause people to have pain. Now, if you've watched any TV this week, you know they replay all the war movies. All the movies about World War II, typically. Occasionally you get a World War I, and the outlier is a Vietnam War movie or a Korean War movie. But most of them are World War II. And I've never seen a movie about this particular story. It's a story about a group of people called the Forgotten 500. You may have read the book, The Forgotten 500. It's about 512 airmen that were shot down over a few months span over Romania and Yugoslavia, and they landed and gathered together or found themselves in Yugoslavia. And they were surrounded by German troops during this time. Now, the problem why this story is not told that often is because it was hidden by governments. The British government, the American government, they did not tell the story because it was not politically expedient to tell about what actually happened. But in the course of their alienation, their capture, they weren't really truly captured, they were just surrounded. They had to decide who they sided with. And Yugoslavia was in a war at the time, a civil war of their own. And the two groups in that country were a royalist group called the Chetniks, and then you had a communist group that were more sympathetic with the Allied forces, and because they were connected with Russia, who was also involved with the war. So you see, there's a lot going on in the environment. All the Allied troops were warned, do not connect with the Chetniks, because the Chetniks are associated with the Nazis. Now, I feel like I need a flow chart. Y'all understand all that? Understand what's going on? Big war, little war, perimeter of Germans, war going on, people that are caught, they're trapped. They're trapped by their circumstances. They're trapped by the wars that are going on. They find that the Chetniks are actually friendly. And not only friendly, they help the people. So they gather them together, and they feed them, and they hide them. They misdirect the German troops when they tour through, and they are truly friends to the people. So that's a good thing. The Allied forces or the American government decided they were going to rescue these 500 people that were trapped. So they formed a group called the OSS. You may have heard of the OSS. That's the precursor to our current CIA. And the OSS, they gathered together and they came up with a formulated a plan, and they began on August 2nd of 1944. They had they sent the team in undercover in the dark, parachuted in a Secret Service team. And in that team's plan was to build an airstrip on top of a mountain. Now, I don't know how you keep that secret, by the way. They're building a secret airstrip on the top of a mountain, and they asked the locals to help. So the Chitniks helped them. With hand tools, they sawed down trees to the ground and flattened out a 600-foot runway, just big enough for a C-47 cargo plane to land on. Now, I'm deep into this story. How many of you have heard this story? Anybody in the room heard the story? So you can find the book on Amazon, The Forgotten 500. So they cleared this 600-foot runway, and they built a perimeter around it with all the brush that was cleared so that it would be difficult for the Germans who drove by to see this airstrip. And at night, C-47 planes would come in and land on the strip, turn around, and take off with between 20 and 30 servicemen. And they ran that plane all the way through the fall. From August 2nd, well, actually it took 7 days to build it, so about August 10th is when they started. And by the way, they built an airstrip in 7 days with hand tools. Big deal. That's a big deal. They rescued them all out by the end of the year. All those 512 people were rescued without one being killed. That's an incredible effort of people committed to rescuing the lost, rescuing those that are in captivity. Not only did they know they were there, they saw they were there, they understood what they were going through, and they came up with a plan. Now, they didn't stop at coming up with a plan. They implemented a plan. They put it into effect. Something that happens to help rescue those that are captured. By the way, all these decorations did not come easy. I worked on it for weeks. The people who worked on this worked many hours, painstakingly designing things downstairs. I remember seeing, was it a magnolia flower made out of paper plates? White paper plates, that was nice. There's lots of things all over the building. Lots of decorations, lots of planning and study. And you've taken your summer to serve. And all kinds of things are happening. That is essentially the spiritual version of what I just told you in the story of the Forgotten 500. I know you could walk out these doors, go house to house, and survey the community and go out just a few miles. You wouldn't have to go far outside the city center. And you would find 500 people trapped. 500 children trapped. Trapped in a world that they cannot get out of. Karen and I had an encounter with some people this week, and another project that I'm involved in that I can't mention today. It's another house building project. So I went out to buy some used stuff. Go out into the woods, this area that's very remote, turn off of a side paved road onto a sort of gravel road. It's gravel and concrete mixed. And then off of that road, we turned a corner into some trees where you could not see a house. You couldn't see a house anywhere. Then we got onto a nothing but pure gravel road, and off to the right, there's a cluster of mobile homes. And outside that cluster of mobile homes, there was a lot of debris, a lot of stuff. Cars that wouldn't run, things that had been abandoned, and there it was stacked right there neatly, what I was purchasing. So we got that, and I looked around the neighborhood, and looked at the people all up and down that street, all in that area, and I saw the children there, and I thought to myself, they are trapped. They will live just like these parents. They're going to be raised up in that environment. It's just going to be hard for them to break free. It's going to be hard. You got one addicted parent, one that's trying to make a living. You got, and that's every house. That wasn't the people we were talking to. That was every house. All the people. You could go outside of this building and find people like that all day long. We could get in our cars and drive the roads, and we find people that don't live in the same bubble we live in. Because we live privileged. We live privileged. We live a way that God has given us things. We have an education. We came from maybe better backgrounds or broke free from a rough background or whatever it might be. And you live this life so long, you're so busy, taking care of your family, doing the things that you do, that your eyes begin to narrow in and you can only see what you see and you don't see the trapped. You don't see the trapped. But the trapped are out there. They are trapped. Some in sin, some in lifestyles that they didn't choose, some in family structures that are harmful, some in abuse, and they're everywhere. So this decoration is just part of the operation to set people free. So let's don't be deluded and think that this is just a vacation event, this is a fellowship. It's not what it is. This is an operation. It's an effort to tell people about the only way they can be set free. That only way they can be set free is through who? Jesus. Through Jesus. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to you. We're making progress on our PowerPoints. Got it up on the screen. I forgot to send the first screen somehow. So I'm going to read the first screen to you. Romans 6:20. If you'll turn to Romans 6:20. While you're turning, I'm going to tell you a couple of phrases that I've been teaching Lily. And I feel like I told you this last week. Did I tell y'all about the rat story with Lily? Okay. She came to come, Lily's our 3-year-old granddaughter. She came to stay with us for about a week to 10 days. And I thought, this is my chance to teach her some things that she can take back home and embarrass her parents with. So I wanted to teach her some phrases that might pop up at some time. She's at the age that when she says things, you're shocked. Her vocabulary is as big as it is. And you're shocked that she could put all the two and twos together and come up with an answer and with a phrase. So this is the phrase I taught her. By the way, before I tell you this phrase, this is the phrase of the week. She told me this phrase last night. It was over the phone. Your smell stinks. Now, she learned that phrase somewhere. She didn't learn that one from me. I didn't teach her that one. And then she told the other phrase that she used this week was, sometimes pop-pops get frustrated and they need to eat. We don't know where that came from. That's pure discernment. The one I taught her was, trapped like a rat. When we would wrestle around and she'd want to wrestle for like 45 minutes to an hour, 30 minutes past bedtime. So we'd be wrestling and I'd grab her like this and I'd say, you can't go anywhere, you're trapped like a rat. I want you to repeat that to me because I want you to say this to your parents later. And she'd say, trapped like a rat. And we'd play that game over and over and I reinforced it. And now when she goes home and they're wrestling, she says, I'm trapped like a rat often. Romans 6:20, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What a benefit did you reap at that time of the things that you're now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There are people around us that are trapped like a rat. They're trapped and they can't get out. It kills some of them, the lifestyle that they have chosen and have been born into and that they live. It takes their life. There are people all around us that are trapped. You yourself were at one time trapped like a rat to sin. You were trapped. Sin had a hold of you. Sin had a hold of you in a way that you could not do anything that was honoring to God. But Jesus came so that you might have freedom, and he set you free. And when he set you free, you're free indeed. You're not just going back and forth between trapped and untrapped and trapped and untrapped. You've been set free. You were once slaves to sin, but you're free from the, and you're free from the control of righteousness. That you're wrapped up in things other than righteousness. Sin offers the pleasure of the cheese, but delivers pain. In my office, I'm waiting for the day that somebody asks me why this is in my office. Now, when I do a Zoom call, I have two canoes behind me on the wall, about this big. Two canoe bookshelves. On those canoes, I have an antique shotgun shell box and an Ambassador 5000 reel from the 70s. You know the look. You know the look of that wall. And over on this wall here, I have Avon jar. You remember the old Avon bottles of perfume or aftershave? I've got Avon aftershave of a buck deer, a duck, I think a couple of pheasants, and that's on one side. All these things, that kind of decor in the office. But on my coat rack in the corner, there is hanging a trap. It's one of those old steel traps that people may still use. I don't know. They're dangerous. You have to step on this trap and the teeth open up like this. You know the little metal things that are open, and you set a little, if you're lucky, you set a little metal thing in the middle. You lay the bait on there. It wouldn't be cheese. It would be something else you're trying to catch. But it's right there in the middle, and you lock it in place and you lay it down. And some animal comes along and gets trapped by that. And I want somebody to ask me why I leave that in my office. And I want to say to them, it's hanging in my office because I want to be reminded why I sit here. I sit here and work in this job because the world is trapped and can't get out. And the only way they can be set free is by Jesus. And if I'm doing anything else other than that, I'm not doing what I'm called to do. We're called to help. People see Jesus so that Jesus may set them free. Sin offers freedom, but it leads to bondage. It whispers life in your ears, but it leads to death. Sin causes death. We need to be aware that it's a much more grave circumstance than just some casual conversation. Sin causes death. Other people's sins cause death. Your sins cause death. Let's turn to John 8. And now we have this passage, John 8, 31 through 36. To the Jews that had believed, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone." Ooh, isn't that quite a statement? Jesus is trying to tell them how to be set free, and they're saying, "Nah, we're fine. We're fine. We're Abraham's descendants. We're okay. We've never been a slave." And he says, "You don't understand what I'm trying to say to you." Jesus in verse 34 says, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Jesus didn't come to make you a better slave. Jesus didn't come to do self-help so that you might improve your state of living within your entrapment of sin. He came to set you free from sin. And when Jesus sets you free, you're no longer bound. You're no longer bound by guilt and shame. That's a trap, by the way. Guilt and shame. It's a trap many people are caught in. They can't get out of. They're in the trap of guilt and shame. Some things they've done, some things that have been done to them is a trap to them. They can't get loose. You're no longer defined by the past that is behind you. Everybody has a past. And all those pasts are littered with sin and consequences. But when you give your life to Jesus, you are set free and not defined by that past any longer. And you're no longer under the penalty of sin. But you've been forgiven. This is not this temporary parole that you have. It's not a temporary parole. It's a permanent pardon. And you've been set free indeed. Let's turn to Galatians 5. This is the reason we have been set free. It is for freedom, Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Paul's teaching us here not to return to our chains that we once wore, but to stay set free. Now, this trap in my office, if I were to open it up and lay it on the ground and accidentally walk over and step in it, I don't think it would break my leg, but I do think it'd cut the skin. I think it hurt. It'd probably hit that little bone on the side of my ankle, and I'd probably throw up. That's how bad it would hurt. It would hurt. But I got out of it. I know to step on it and get myself out of it. And if I set that thing back up, am I going to walk over there and step in it again? We're not meant to go back to the sin that had us trapped. We're meant to be set free. To live lives that are free, we need to live our life in Jesus and in Jesus alone. So we have to walk, we have to live, we have to be a way that keeps us focused on Christ. Let's turn to Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, rather to serve one another humbly in love. So workers, no matter how many people show up this week, you know what you're doing? You're yielding yourself to the Lord and repelling the trap. You're pushing away the trap of sin because you're serving humbly. You're doing something that is honoring to God. You're spending time singing. You're spending time praying. You're spending time in fellowship. You're spending time telling people about Jesus. All that you're doing is living in step with the Spirit. So this freedom that we have, this freedom, this position that we have of blessing that's beyond description. And I couldn't say enough today to help you fully understand all the freedom that we have in Jesus. This freedom that we have, you've been given to forgive other people too. You've been set free. You've been forgiven. Forgive other folks. Use what freedom you have to lift others up and not to tear them down. So when you see people, a cluster of people that are trapped by sin, ask the Lord to use you to help set them free. Help set them free. Use your spiritual freedom to glorify God and not gratify the flesh. And we have the Holy Spirit. If you have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit says, when you're walking through life, and there sits a trap, the Holy Spirit says, don't step to your right. You ever had that happen? Don't step to your right. You step right there, you're going to step into sin. You're going to get in a trap. So I'm walking along a little more. Here comes another one. There's a landmine right there. It's so big, it could really do me some damage. And it's completely hidden. And the Holy Spirit says to you, walk carefully, do not step there. Walk this way. Is that me? Man. A voice from somewhere said to me, step back. So we had to live in step with the Spirit by communicating with God through prayer. Not this little prayer in the morning to get you started while you drink your coffee. That's good. It's got to continue. It's got to continue throughout the day. Walking in step, praying, talking, submitting, listening, acting like a follower. We do all that. We're going to live that freedom that we have been promised in Scripture. So when Lily and I were playing trapped like a rat, do you think I keep her trapped very long? 30, 40 minutes is all I can do. She's too strong for me. No, I cap it at about 5 seconds. Cap it at about 5 seconds. Because I want her to know that that's a safe thing, because we're just goofing around, and she likes it more than I do. And you can be set free. Just communicating subliminally, you're going to get trapped in life, but you can get set free. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the freedom you purchased with your blood. Thank you for the freedom that was given to us to be believers boldly in public because of all those people who fought for freedom throughout history. Lord, help us to walk in that freedom every day, not as slaves, but as sons and daughters. Lord, teach us to use our liberty to love and serve other people and to glorify you. Father, we may be trapped right now in this moment. Those that are listening to this online or in this room or look at it later, Father, they may be trapped. And Father, help them to know the only way to be set free is to turn to Jesus. Father, this week I pray that you bring people to this building that are trapped. And Lord, we can help them be set free. And may we hear those stories and tell those stories for years to come. It's in your name we pray. Amen. If you'll stand with us for a time of invitation. We'll have a time of invitation, then we'll have the Lord's Supper immediately following.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.